Thanks for listening to today's episode of Journey Now. Join us for our virtual Sunday gatherings at 10 a.m. on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, or through our website at journeytn.com/livestream.
Hey, Journey Church, this is Susie Lind, and it is so good to be with you again on another episode of Journey Now. This last weekend was our first weekend in our new church building. It was such an exciting morning, and I was actually thankful to be wearing a mask to cover up my super goofy ear-to-ear grin. My level of happiness was off the charts because this extrovert was glad to finally be with people on a Sunday morning. But despite that, Kevin captured some real authentic feelings that we were all kind of sharing together when he said that the celebration and the first day back has certainly been muted by the circumstances. We miss our founding pastor who shared this dream, and we're not as free to touch and hug and fully enjoy the flesh and blood experience of body life. Though this is all temporary, the practicality of the situation fits into the theological explanation that we live in these constant reminders of already, but not yet. We are already in the new building, but not yet fully enjoying it. We are already in the kingdom, but it has not yet fully been redeemed. If you want to nerd out on me for a second, this term is often related to what's called kingdom theology. It's the theological concept which holds that believers are actively taking part in the kingdom of God, but that the kingdom will not reach its full expression until sometime in the future. Now, there's been a lot of talk and theorizing lately as to whether the world is ending or if we indeed are living in what people call the end times, and what that looks like and even what it means varies from person to person. As long as I've been a Christian, there have been people who have been emphatically talking about and believing that we are indeed living in the end times. And I don't think that's different for anybody in the generations before me either. But no matter what your understanding or views of the quote end times are, I think we can agree that we live in this wonder-filled time in redemptive history where we know Jesus, the man-God who walked the earth, and we know how he loves and lives among us and desires to make himself known through us. And we also know by looking around, this is not all there is, because the work of Christ and the redemption he came for only began those years he walked in the Middle East, and it's continuing through all creation, not only in Jerusalem and Judea, but throughout all the earth. Simply stated, we live in a redemptive time that lies between Jesus' resurrection and ascension and his sure return. At the time of Christ's incarnation, the Jews were not aware of this intervening time in redemptive history. Their expectations were that Christ would come, vanquish all foes, and set up his kingdom. Jesus himself announced this intervening time in Luke 4 when he read in the synagogue from Isaiah 6. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The year of the Lord's favor, which Jesus proclaimed, was a reference to the year of Jubilee described in Leviticus 25. The principles of forgiveness and debt, release from prison and restoration were to be applied spiritually in a time of God's favor or grace. It was an announcement of good news, the promise of a giant do-over to all those who would believe. The Jews mistakenly assumed this favor was only for them, but in verses 24 to 27 of the Luke 4 passage, Jesus foreshadows that this time of favor would apply to us, the Gentiles. So take that all in, I know it was a lot, and just for a second, let it sit with you. That we, according to Scripture, are now living in this favorable time. And if that's true, how does that change your outlook on what is going on in your world? Be it related to illnesses and pandemics, or knowing that we are living now in this favorable time and knowing the sure return of Christ, How should we live, and for what should we long? Well, Peter answers the question in 2 Peter 3. He reminds us that the Lord will return and the heavens and earth will be made new as promised. So Peter exhorts us to live lives of holiness and godliness as we both wait for and, what he says, hasten the coming of the Lord. Well, the discussion of already but not yet is not primarily just an end times discussion. The larger questions are not when is he coming or what is the sequence of events of his return. The better questions, rather, are what do we do while we wait? And what would love have me do? I mean, it's great to have good theology and know what the Bible says about anything and everything. But as for me, I have some pretty good theology in my head that has a lot of trouble making its way down to my heart. God never intended for us to just know about him. His intention is always for us to know him in the most intimate ways, to be with him and to become like him. So as we close our minutes together today, let's posture ourselves to hear from the Spirit of the living God. I just download a bunch of stuff on you. So if you can, relax your body and take some breaths in and out and relax your shoulders and your eyelids and your eyebrows and your jaw and just breathe. Again, if we believe that Jesus was serious when he said that we're now living in this redemptive time of God's favor that's already here but not yet in its full expression, as we wait, hope, imagine, dream, and long for that fruition, how is love inviting us to wait? What is love requiring of me now? Could it be in the way we choose to digest information? Could it be in the way we approach relationships with a genuine curiosity just to know another person? Could it be in the way we use our time, our resources, and the gifts God has given us? What is God saying to you? After the stillness of this moment passes, may we respond, either with a yes and amen, or a next right move toward emulating the love of God. Let me close with these words from the poet of Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed these episodes, please consider helping us continue to produce them with a financial gift. Go to journeytn.com/give to learn more.